that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So before we get into the discussion for today, we have a couple of things to talk about. First off, I've mentioned a couple times in the last few weeks, but we officially have the Chimwits app available in the iTunes store. It's only available on iTunes for the moment, but we're working on for other products. Mobile phones. So you can get it, you can download it on your iPhone, on your iPad. And the app's great. You can tons of settings. You can do push notifications, or you cannot. We're gonna add bonus content. So not every episode, but as much as we can, we'll try to add extra things. Whether it's some bonus audio or a workout of the week or some extra
a cheat meal,
something
here and there.
Extra. Yeah, something extra for anyone who does want to download the app. So again, the app is in the app store now. It's the Chimwits app, and it'll be mostly podcasts, but again, we're going to include some bonus information or bonus content for people who download it. The second thing is we had an article in Cracked. It was published last week as far as when we were recording. When this posts about a week and a half, it's been really, really successful so far. I think we've had over a million and a half views.
That's crazy.
As of Tuesday. So in about a week, a million and a half views. And it's just a kind of insights into personal training. So if you haven't read it yet, it's a fun article that we put together, giving some inside very juicy secrets about personal training. So if you haven't, check it out. It's on cracked.com. And it's definitely a fun article. So check it out and leave your feedback.
What's the name of the article?
What is the name of the article? I think it's like 6 personal trainer secrets, something like that. It's a good question. I should know it. I think it's 6 personal trainer secrets. But if you go on Cracked, it's like one of the top articles from last week, if not the most viewed article, which is pretty cool. So and I've referenced Cracked's podcast often on this podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and the website, it's fun. It's a fun site, and it was a cool experience kind of working on that article. So anyway, on to today's topic. What do we got on the table for today, Justin?
So today we're going to talk about fitness and aging, and really the importance of fitness as we age. And guess what? We are all going to age, and we need to stay healthy. Well, it's your choice. Hey, if you don't want to stay healthy while you age, it's your choice. It's your body. But if you want to stay healthy while you age, if you want to live to a ripe old age, fitness is going to play a huge role.
Yeah, fitness plays a huge role. And aging, fitness can largely slow many of the effects
of
aging.
That's the fountain of youth.
Yeah, yeah. In many ways, it is. You know, there's certain things you can't avoid.
Sure.
But as a lot of these studies bear out, just a little bit of exercise or moderate to heavy exercise can significantly alter your path. You know, so I think as we age, exercise should be important your entire life. But those who are more fit and exercise, you know, as they're aging, are going to be more fit later on, and it will show significant results.
And a lot of people say, oh, well, what's the use? We're all going to die anyway. You know, we have medications that keep us alive. I think it was my uncle made a joke about being, oh, this person is the healthiest person in the cemetery. And it's true. Yeah. You know, we're all going there one day. But what's most important, even probably more so than how long we live, is the quality of life, being mobile, being limber, being able to do the things that you want to do, to be able to enjoy life. You don't want to be so out of breath or just so tight and unable to do things that you can't enjoy being with your family, your friends, doing activities.
Yeah, exactly. I think quality of life is huge. And as you age, it doesn't, you know, things won't get easier. And I've seen people, you know, at the end of the day, we can all live to very fairly old age. And if you're 50 and dealing with serious physical issues, and you even if you live another 20, 30, 40 years, like that can be rough. It can be a rough 20, 30, 40 years. So the more fit, the more healthy you are, just the better quality of life. And I've seen people who are in their 80s, 90s who are healthier than people, you know, decades younger. And so it does make a huge difference, you know, not only on the length of your life, but also, yeah, again, on the quality of life. So I guess the first thing we'll talk about are what are some of the things that happen when you age. So I'll ask you, what do you think are some of the, like, I guess for you, what common sense things happen as we age?
Well, to me, the most obvious ones would be your body declining, a lack of strength or loss of strength, muscle mass, overall flexibility, certainly heart conditions, the risk for heart attack, hypertension, increasing blood pressure, stroke, those types of issues.
Yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned a couple of the more common ones. So, yeah, definitely there's a strength loss, which happens naturally, something called sarcopenia, which happens to many adults, which is basically a significant loss of muscle mass, which can happen, especially if you don't do any strength training. You know, loss of flexibility, osteoporosis, which is low bone mass. Cancer obviously increases as we age. Something called metabolic syndrome. So basically, we have their risk factors. So a risk factor for heart disease would be something that is a sign that, you know, if you have a number of these signs, then heart disease, it, you know, the chances of getting it increase. So something like a waist over 40 in men, I think it's over 35 in women, high triglycerides, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high fasting glucose. There are a number of other things. So any combination of these risk factors lead to metabolic syndrome, which also is a problem as we age. Arthritis, which is pain or stiffness, you know, swelling in the joints. There's cardiovascular disease, which I referenced, that also increases. So, which is anything affecting the heart. So that could be heart disease, hypertension, stroke, high blood pressure. Another really big thing is lower cognitive abilities. And then you have diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia. So there's the cognitive decline that's also happens. And, you know, just general mental health and well-being. Yeah, so
let's talk about that for a second.
So the key, actually, before we get to any specifics, is that almost all of these exercise can combat. Mm. So there are, you know, there are studies that bear this out with almost all of these, that just exercising can impact each one and in many cases significantly reduce the potential for dealing with any of those issues.
All right. So you're saying with the, especially with cognitive health, with mental health, that exercise can either combat that or maybe, I don't know about cure it, but can really help or can help stave off potential issues?
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, now, we did a ton of research. I was about to say a word that would get us, then we'd have to put a different sign on our yeah, iTunes listing. But anyway, there's a lot of research. So instead of referencing each source, all of this will be in the show notes. So I'm going to have all the resources in the show notes so I can just spout these off a little bit. Otherwise, it'll take us 30 minutes. Yeah. So anyway, basically, one of the interesting things as far as aging is that blood flow to the brain becomes restricted as we age. So that causes an issue where you're not getting as much oxygen to the brain. And there's actually a situation where the brain shrinks as we age. So naturally. And then there are studies that show that the brains of people who exercise more have larger brain mass. So they have less shrinkage of the brain as they age. So I think that's kind of, the part of the reason for the cognitive decline potentially could be, again, that loss of brain mass and not as much oxygen to the brain, especially if you're not exercising.
Well, they say if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
Right. And as you get older, there's a stress on doing brain games, you know, playing chess, puzzles, stuff like that. And that stuff is certainly very important, but fitness is, and exercise is also very important. I think that fitness is not an exercise, is not a mindless activity. Even if it's something that you might think, oh, it's monotonous, I'm running, or I'm just, you know, I'm walking, or I'm on a bike, I'm doing it, you know, just the same pace over and over again, it's still not mindless,
yeah,
right? You're still thinking, and anytime you engage the brain, it helps the brain, it's good for it. So fitness is, you can almost add it to the list of brain games and activities that one could use to keep their mind strong in as they get older.
Yeah, well, the other thing is there's for a lot of the kind of quote brain games, there's not a lot of actual research on whether or not they're effective. But there's actually there are studies, again, dealing with aging and exercise, that compare the results of people who do participate in kind of mental exercises versus people who just exercise, like, or not that they just exercise, but a group that was fit or fitness group and a group that did more cognitive based work. And the fitness group actually increased more, because again, the, you know, there's that structural part to the brain. There's a physical brain, and that physical brain needs oxygen to be at full strength. So no matter, you know, playing those brain games don't necessarily provide the oxygen supply and increase blood flow that actual exercise is going to provide. So in many ways, as you age, even for cognitive function, exercise becomes more important than cognitive activities or cognitive, quote, you know, exercise.
So the conditions that we all dread for our family and, of course, eventually for ourselves are diseases like Alzheimer's, dementia, stuff like that. Do we have any information on whether or not exercise can actually combat that stuff?
Yeah, there are many studies, and there are a couple recent ones, too, that show a significant connection between, you know, again, we talked about cognitive function, so, you know, significant connection between exercise and decreased risks of dementia.
Wow.
You know, there's one study I'm going to quote from the American Psychological Association, tests on cognition and brain function in 62 to 70-year-olds. So the quote, those who continued to work and retirees who exercised showed sustained levels of cerebral blood flow and superior performance on general measures of cognition as compared to the group of inactive retirees. Aerobically trained older adults showed increased neural activities in certain parts of the brain that involved attention and reduced activity in other parts of the brain that are sensitive to behavioral conflict. So yeah, it was, you know, there are a number of interesting studies. Again, will be linked in the show notes that show again a significant connection between exercise and a reduced risk of dementia. So, you know, only is it important for just overall cognitive function. I think, you know, everybody will experience some level of a decline, but you know, again, you then deal with the significant, you know, decline and diseases, you know, related to that we can fight with exercise.
That's great. So probably the most obvious thing that happens as we get older is just our body breaks down. You know, we're not as strong. We're not as flexible. You know, we can't run as fast or as far. Basic physical things like that. So clearly, by exercising, you know, perhaps even adding a strength training, resistance training regimen, can be pay huge dividends as we get older, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there's a natural decline in muscle mass. I mentioned the sarcopenia, which is a little... that's significant. Yeah, that does sound like an insult, doesn't it? There can be a significant decline in overall muscle mass. But again, exercise can fight that. There are a bunch of interesting studies relating to strength and muscle mass with age. There was one really interesting one that took world-class track athletes in their 80s and compared them to normal people at the same age. So I guess you have athletes and non-athletes.
And now these were people that were still competing.
Yeah, still competing. So still not competitive like athletes. Previous, no, not like someone who was, you know, an Olympic athlete in their 20s, but they're actually still competing. And it found that their legs were 25% stronger on average.
Wow.
And they had 14% more total muscle mass. So just by being an athlete, they were, you know, significantly better. There were, you know, other studies. There's another study that took cycling enthusiasts over 55, and for this group they chose an athletic group. So just like the world class athletes, this group, they were all cyclists. They were non smokers, not drinkers, no other major health concerns. They had to pass a minimum requirement, like a minimum fitness requirement. But they found that their scores indicated them being much younger compared to the general population. So again, just being fit, they appeared to be younger than they were. Like if you just took the results to their fitness tests, you know, you would put them in a group much younger than they were.
So it's proven that we lose muscle mass as we get older, and it's going to keep on happening. So how do we use fitness, exercise, resistance training, whatever it is, to not only maintain our muscle mass, but maybe even to gain a little bit as we get older and stay healthier?
So that's a good question. So there would be a natural decline in muscle mass at some point, especially for men, like our testosterone levels drop. So it does become harder for us to maintain and build extra muscle mass. That being said, it's not impossible. You know, so first off, I think adults beyond 50 lose about a half a pound of muscle per year, a little less than half a pound of muscle per year. So, you know, now that's significant because your strength, strength is probably the most important variable in actual function. So, so as far as how we function in the world, our strength is going to be the most important variable. Obviously, there are many other variables, but that's the most important thing. So if you keep losing a half a pound of muscle per year, you know, at some point it's significant. A half pound is significant. So basically the key to fighting that is what's called progressive resistance. So it's most of us know it. It's very simple. It's just you need to constantly make progress. It's what it sounds like. So whatever you do, you can't do the same workout week to week or month to month or year to year. If you do the same thing, it's not progressive. Your body adapts. The body's really good at adapting. So it adapts to what it needs to do, and then it does the bare minimum, or the body adapts the bare minimum to meet whatever that stress is. So you do have to kind of constantly stress your body in order and stress your body in new ways or in harder ways in order to make progress. So, as you get older,
it's even more important to do this.
For maintenance or to make progress, you're going to have to work harder than you did before. So if you're lifting heavier,
even to maintain, you have to progress.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So that is a key. So it's not impossible. It is absolutely harder to gain muscle mass as you get older, but it's not impossible. And even, you know, there's another study that took 90-year-olds, right? So it took 90-year-olds that were not exercising and put them on a 12-week exercise program, 2 days a week of strength training, and they were able to increase the muscle mass, strength, power, their functional capacity. So it's not impossible.
Even if you haven't worked out before. Yes. So that's basically saying you haven't exercised, or maybe you did 50 years ago, and you've led a fairly sedentary life, and then all of a sudden you just start exercising, you're going to see results.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so
that's tremendous information.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as strength, like, it's a myth that you can't get stronger when you age. You just have to work a little bit harder.
So now, I know this might not be within your scope, but how does the diet play into your, you know, aging and fitness and sort of in that whole sort of picture?
So that's something to talk to a dietitian to get more detail. But there is some research that says that it's possible that our current protein requirement may not be ideal for older adults. So that basically it was saying that the number might be a little too low for older adults. So as you age, you may actually need more protein,
which makes sense
kind of conceptually. I don't know the science behind it. So, and that's something that an expert you'd want to get the information from an expert, but it does seem like we might need more protein as we age in order to maintain or build muscle.
All right. So forget all these studies, right? We've all seen the picture in the comic book or on TV of the guy, forgot his name, who's 89 years old and he's really ripped and he's a bodybuilder. What's that guy's name?
I don't remember.
He's been doing fitness for years and he's like, look, I'm 89 years old and you use my system and you can have this incredible body. All right. We know that most people at 90 years old are not going to have that body.
Yeah.
But from your personal experience with older individuals that you've worked with, what are the results that you have seen from adding either resistance training, cardio, and anything, exercise program to older individuals?
So from personal experience, I think I've never worked with an older adult, let's say 60 plus. I've never worked with an older adult 60 plus whose goal was to become He-Man, you know, or become that guy. I've never had somebody that said that. Generally, the goal is bit more flexibility, strength, function, balance. And from that perspective, that always gets better. You know, there are physical limitations. Again, as we age, there's always a chance. You could be the healthiest person in the world, and there's a chance of some kind of an injury, or maybe there's something genetic. So it doesn't, you know, exercise doesn't kind of preclude you from dealing with any of those issues, but it helps reduce the effects, and it helps the body recover quicker. But generally, with older adults that I've worked with, and continue to work with, there can be a significant increase in flexibility, in overall strength, in balance, in movements, I hate using those buzzwords, but like in core strength and in functional movements, like there can be significant progress in those areas. And, you know, again, I know people who are that guy, you know, that are that big and that are, you know, in their 70s, 80s, they're, you know, bigger, you know, huge and ripped. But those are guys who've been dedicated to fitness. And at the end of the day, you know, we talked about this, you know, your results, the greater the results, the more work you have to put in. So most of the people that are going to be working with a personal trainer, especially at that age, are generally looking to maintain or increase their fitness. And the guys, that guy, he's been doing that his whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, not that. I'm sure there are people who have made significant progress at older age, but at least the clients that I've worked with, the goals have never been that lofty. It's been, you know, overall function.
Just function improvement. And if I might add something, a big risk for older individuals are falls in terms of, you know, either death or in, you know, catastrophic injury, things that are now become life debilitating. And fitness and exercise can really help with those, you know, with that situation, right? I don't have a study that will tell you that, but it's somewhat common sense.
Yeah.
It not only does fitness and exercise protect against falls with balance, but if unfortunately someone were to suffer a fall, being in better physical shape and condition protects against that unfortunate situation to some degree.
Yeah, I didn't look at anything that I'm sure there's research out there, and I'll have to look, but it does improve your functional capacity, which would then you can extrapolate from that. That is going to make your balance is going to be better. Your ability to operate within your environment is going to be better. Just kind of anecdotally, I've had clients that have had problems with falls who, after training, one of the things that you're able to do is if you trip, you can catch yourself. And I've had people tell me that. Like, I was walking down the street and I tripped on the sidewalk and I caught myself. Or, you know, worst case scenario, you're more in control of your body as you fall. Yeah. So there, again, this is one of the things I should have researched, but I don't have anything on hand like to say, oh, there was a study that said, but it's fairly common sense. And just from my own experience with clients, it's one of those things that improves markedly with exercise, you know, and there are specific things you can do to work on that. But yeah, your ability to operate in space or your proprioception can improve significantly with exercise.
So now I believe it's still the biggest causes of death for Americans, or if it's not anymore, it's up there, and it's the dreaded heart disease.
Yeah.
So now we've got to talk about how fitness and exercise can really help protect against this, you know, really a devastating disease, devastating condition.
Well, yeah. So as we talked about metabolic disease, and we're gonna, you know, kind of lump that in with heart disease, but basically because you've got a number of risk factors, right, that for heart disease, which then make up having metabolic disease. Mm-hmm. But these are metabolic diseases related to heart disease. So you have things like high blood pressure, elevated blood glucose, excess abdominal fat, high LDLs or low HDLs. So you have high cholesterol, high fasting glucose. I may have repeated a couple of these again, you know, over. So there are a number of these risk factors.
And we know some of those are diet related.
Yeah. Some can be absolutely, you know, and then there are even other risk factors, you know, like smoking or,
sure,
you know, diabetes. So all of these individually can be affected by exercise. So for each of these, exercise will help to reduce, you know, either completely eliminate many of these or at least reduce them significantly. So so exercise, and there's just a number of studies that show a significant reduction in the risk of heart disease with exercise. Again, I'll link to a number of these. There's one good one that deals directly with metabolic disease that was from John Hopkins, that showed a significant reduction in cases of metabolic disease by adding exercise to people ages 55 to 75. So older adults who had metabolic disease, there was a reduction in the cases just by adding exercise to their program. So, you know, this is obviously the largest cause of death, I think, just independent of age. And so just by adding exercise, you can significantly reduce your risk of, you know, again, all of these risk factors associated with heart disease. And by extension, you can, you know, reduce the risk of heart disease just by adding exercise into your program.
So we always think of losing strength and muscle mass and flexibility as we get older. But something that is somewhat similar to that, that perhaps isn't talked about as much, is the loss of bone strength, bone density, conditions like osteoporosis. And I'm sure we're going to find out how exercise can combat those things as well.
Yeah, so osteoporosis is the loss of bone mass, basically. And
below a certain percentage or something.
Certain level. So you have low bone density or bone mass, and then below a certain threshold or above a certain threshold, you're dealing with osteoporosis, which affects many older adults. I think I think 10 million people in the, you know.
Does this affect women more than men?
It does affect women more than men.
Okay. But still can affect all sexes.
But it affects men too, yeah. And so a simple thing you can do with osteoporosis is just lift weights. So any weight-bearing exercise is going to increase or help to increase bone mass. The only thing is the weight-bearing has to be kind of in the direction of the joint. So, for example, you know, if the joint, you know, if we're dealing with, let's say, the shin, and you're, you know, carrying a weight on your back, I'm using a very simple example, that's kind of perpendicular to the floor. The weights drop, you're holding the weight perpendicular to the floor, that will be focused on that joint, that bone. That bone will be dealing with the weight. So you just kind of have to do a variety of exercises, but the bone has to be carrying the load in order for it to affect. But there are a number of studies that show that even people with osteoporosis, just by completing some kind of a weight training program, you'll be able to increase bone mass or bone density.
So I often say that exercise is like putting money in the bank for fitness in your later years.
Yeah.
Is this sort of an accurate
statement? Yes. Yeah, there are a couple of studies that do show that bear that out as well, that athletes at a younger age have better bone density as they get older. So it is true. It's like you do get to kind of put a little bit of fitness in the bank for yourself if you exercise younger. Now, that's not going to make things better. You can't, you know, if you were to stop working out now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be healthy.
Sure.
But it does help you later on in life.
So for those that say, oh, well, you know, while I'm young, I'll be healthy, I'll just get by. And then when I get older, I'll start exercising then. It's kind of a silly thought that you should be exercising now.
You should always be exercising
later. And then, of course, you want to exercise later in life as well.
Yeah.
But you want to put these fitness dollars in the bank while you have the chance.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And something that I'm concerned about, I play guitar, a lot of stress on the hands, small motor movements, and also so many of the older people that I know suffer from this condition, and even younger people as well, is arthritis. And I know there's a little bit of a contradiction there because activity can cause it, but exercise can also help it.
Yeah, definitely. Like any repetitive movement can actually have an effect on bone or on arthritis, and you'll see a number of athletes who do deal with arthritis, with, you know, basketball players with hip and knee problems, baseball players shoulder. So arthritis is an issue, but in general, like for the average person, exercise can help with arthritis. And I think there was one study that it was up to 25% less joint and muscle pain in old age for people who exercise. So assuming you're doing a normal amount of exercise, it absolutely can help with arthritis. But you know, there are many different kinds of arthritis. Sure. So some's genetic, some are related to movement. So you know, so there are a lot of different kinds, and depending on what kind of arthritis, you know, exercise may or may not help. But in general, exercise is going to help with any kind of the bone or joint pain and swelling and stiffness that does just come with old age.
Well, I think that's about it.
Yeah,
well, you know what? I'm going to add one last thing. And I doubt you did any studies on it, but it's sexual health. And as we get older, we know that for men...
That would make it just a podcast in itself, right?
Probably would.
Yeah.
Probably would. So maybe we'll do that.
Okay. I don't really know much about how exercise relates to it. So
we'll have to get someone.
So we'll have to
get someone on there.
Yeah, maybe we'll get an expert. Yeah.
But I guess in summation of that,
yeah,
if you're fit, adding muscle mass, does that raise your testosterone? Do we know if that does that? Do we know if adding muscle mass or being fit and constantly exercising actually helps keep your testosterone levels up or helps raise them?
As we age, I don't know. I do think it does to an extent, or it slows the decline, but don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. That's not something I was looking up when we were doing the research. I believe it does, but I'm not 100% sure, so I wouldn't take my word for it. But it's probably not something that a quick Google search can't answer. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, so just with regards to that, being fit, being healthier will help you with your sexual health as well as you get older, right? I don't have any facts on that. I'm just stating
I guess,
that.
I mean, we talked about the brain.
It
I
just
guess,
makes sense.
We talked increased blood flow to the brain, so yep, I guess it would work the other way or the opposite direction.
Oh, right? And it helps with bone health as well, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does help with bone health. All right.
Okay.
All right. You got that. You got that out of your system.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it, I guess. So yeah, work out. Keep doing it.
As you get older, and make sure to download our app.
Yes, download the GymWits app, as we talked about. It's in the App Store now. As usual, if you can, leave us a review, whether it's in the App Store or Apple Store or on the podcast app. Leave your feedback. If you have any questions, ask some questions. If you have any ideas for bonus content or something that you'd like us to put out, we'd love to hear your feedback and engage with you guys. So give us your feedback. So anyway, all of our stuff is on our website, thegymwits.com. You can have a link to everything. Everything is there on thegymwits.com. All of our social media stuff, links to the app, links to everything. So you can go there for the information. You can also leave feedback through the website. And that's it. Until next week, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the GymWits.